Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Apparently not.
Yeah, Kristen Gislason-Palmer now joins us, New Orleans City Council member. Good morning, madam.
Good morning. Thank you for the intro. Great lead-in story.
Madam Council, yeah. People do stuff, you know, and I'm sure you get the phone calls all the time, and it just makes you say, I don't understand any of this. Tell me what's going on at the City Council today. Ordinance number, is it 32.693?
Yes, it is.
What is all that about?
It's about, so it deals with the alcohol beverage ordinances. So in Chapter 10 in the City Code is the chapter that deals with how you regulate that. And so we started this process, Councilmember Wynn and I, about 11 months ago, looking at, you know, we had a couple problem nuisance establishments, one in the east. I had one in St. Rock, like a small corner store that when I was in office last time was open up for like, you know, for 4 years. And they were always, you know, dealing drugs and guns, and there were shootings out there, and nobody could really get anything taken care of there. Mm-hmm. And when we met with our ATC director, Juana Marie Lombard from the state, you know, it was a very simple process that, you know, it's law that you have to have a state alcohol permit in order to have a city one. And there's an automatic revocation. If they take it away, then anybody else in the state also, you have to take it away locally. And it just wasn't very clearly stated in our ABO. And so we're like, well, we can do that. So we opened it up, and then legal department was like, well, since you're opening up Chapter 10, since it hasn't been opened up since like the 1950s, can we just update it? And so that kind of began the saga of updating this entire chapter to kind of bring it into the 21st century.
You know, everything is in, you know, verbiage when it comes to law. You can't just say, well, you know, if it's ugly, do away with it. Because, you know, everybody thinks ugly is different. And it was a terrible example.
But when it's a good example. It is a good example.
So when it comes to nuisance bars, is that defined statutorily? Or how do you do that?
Well, again, I think that's a good question. And so when you talk about anything that happens, you have to have rules and regulations that are promulgated that are very clear and open process, right?
Right.
Because you always want to have a due process. You also don't ever want to have something that is subjective and could take away somebody's ability to have a livelihood. So we're very clear about having a due process that will occur with the ABO board that's basically going to create the rules and regulations, and it comes back to the council for a vote. So there's going to be two more bites of that to ensure that due process is met, to ensure that there are hearings, and really to make sure that you know, this is important and a responsibility, and we need to take it seriously.
So you and Councilperson Wynn introduced it, right?
We introduced it, back in December. And then we heard it first in January at a governmental affairs meeting. And then from that point since to today, there's been a significant amount of input and re-editing. And I just really want to publicly thank the LRA, the Louisiana Restaurant Association, all the various businesses, MACNO, Bear, all these groups, all the different neighborhood associations. Everybody really put something into this. And I also really want to thank all the council members. They've really looked at this very closely. And I think you all know that this council really rolls up their sleeves when they tackle an issue. And so it makes the process longer, right? But I do think it's a good process, and I think the end result is good. We're not going to make everybody 100% happy, but we're doing some really smart business things in here to make it easier as well. Like for instance, definitions had never been updated. So, you know, we have a really great, some new industries coming up in New Orleans with these microbreweries and distilleries. There is really no definition to deal with them and how, and now we have that in there. And I think that's going to make them easier to open and to regulate. Before, if an ABO was denied, there was no appeals process. So we put an appeals process in here. You know, there are issues in terms of when you would have to pay your fees. They were based on the alcohol content, and you would have to literally come in twice to City Hall. And we all know that's a nightmare. So we did it like we have one annual renewal date. which is going to help. You know, and these were suggestions from the business community. And then also, like, we also did stuff for our hotel and our hospitality industry. So, for example, if you're a hotel and you have multiple outlets, right, within one hotel, you only need to get one ABO permit now as opposed to multiple ones. And I think that's a really good thing. And then we also paid attention to the small business owner. You know, currently in Chapter 10, there has to be a named manager on site at all times. We kind of changed the definition of that to responsible party because we know that there's some small bars and small ABOs where you might only have three or four employees. And that way you can name a responsible party as opposed to just one technical manager. And we think that makes it a fair process as well.
I got to ask you about number one. I am not old enough to remember this, but I do know from reading what it is. I think they used to call it bee drinking, did they not?
They did call it bee drinking. But the problem is in our code.
Well, explain, if you will, what it says and what you're trying to fix, please.
So currently what it says on the books, literally, is that if there's a female in your bar who's sitting at the bar and solicits a drink from somebody next to them, the bar can be shut down.
Wow.
Correct. So I could have shut down many bars in my youth.
You know damn well you never had to ask anybody to buy you a drink. You know there are guys lined up to buy you drinks.
Now, let's be very clear that we're not talking about this being an office. I don't take gifts. So, but you know, that's just patently unfair. And there's also language in there about lewd and lascivious behavior that could really be subjective, right? And we're in the 21st century. We really don't want to have subjective. We want to have fair and clear laws that everybody understands what the intent is. And that's really what we've been trying to do here.
I think the way it was supposed to work, this bee drinking thing, is that there would be women that were at the bar, that were shilling for the bar. They would ask a man to buy him a drink, and the man would, and then they charge a guy like $8 for a glass of iced tea instead of bourbon that they were giving a girl, right?
I can only speculate, sir. I can't comment on that.
I understand. So as it stands now, the new law about that is going to say?
You just took it out. There's not even going to be in there.
All right, so they won't address it at all?
Correct.
All right.
We're just going to hope that men use their best judgment.
That's your first mistake. Yeah. What about outdoor seating?
So currently, according to Chapter 10, you're not allowed, bars cannot have outdoor seating. Full stop. Now, you and I know that we all have neighborhood bars, where it's a part of our culture, mm-hmm. where they've been around for 20 or 30 years, they have outdoor seating, and that's what we like. So now, well, it's called sidewalk seating because it's on public property. So basically, now you'll be able to, and you just have to go through the same process that a restaurant goes through to have sidewalk seating.
And you got to pay for that, right? You got to pay the city?
Yeah, you do. And you know, I don't particularly like that, but according to the state constitution, you can't give away something for free if it's owned by the public. So that's, you know, our hands are kind of tied on that. But at least this way, right, say you got a bar like, I don't know, Marky's are the old point, right? And they've been around there for 30, 40 years. And then somebody from out of town moves in next door and they just don't like living next to it. They could technically call and say, hey, you got to enforce the law and you can't have people sitting outside. Now they, you know, you don't have that ability. It's also kind of to protect some of our legacy cultural businesses that are good players.
In terms of due process, I guess, if somebody has in terms of losing their license, what does all of this have to do with maybe who can suspend it? And if it is, how do they get it back? Does it address any of that?
It does address it very clearly when we talk about a due process period. So in there can be no emergency revocation, full stop, or emergency suspension, excuse me, until rules and regulations are promulgated by the ABO board, and then it goes back to the city council for a vote. So it's going to be very clearly laid out. Until any of that happens, there can be no emergency suspension.
What kind of pushback did you get on this, and from whom and why?
This was the piece that we got a lot of pushback from. There's a group, the French Quarter Business League, which is made up of Bourbon Street bar owners and strip club owners, and they had an issue with it. And their issue was really based around due process, which I agree with. I mean, I think their concern was that they don't want to be targeted and they don't want to be unnecessarily shut down, which is why we're very clearly laying out a due process piece that we can take more time on, and it can be, again, a public process. And I also don't think it should be done by the council. I think it should be done by the ABO board with input from stakeholders and lawyers, and making sure that it's done the correct way and in public. And so that's what we're doing. And I think that's a really good process.
Somebody just
I just also want to be clear.
Yeah.
This is not about targeting. This is not about shutting things down. This is about compliance. If you when we started this journey too, and we got these recommendations in, I specifically asked, safety and permits in the city, like how many places have they taken away a license? One in a year. So we're not, that's not the goal here.
So is this going to come up today, or is it going to be deferred? And
no, it's coming up today. It will not be deferred.
And you have obviously the votes for it, or you wouldn't bring it up.
I think we do. I think we have the votes for it because I think everybody on the council has worked really hard to find compromise positions and to make sure that this is a thoughtful legislation and that it's fair to businesses. It makes it easier for new businesses, and it's fair to the community and to neighborhoods.
What else is the council going to look at today?
Well, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so we are looking at that. That will be one of our opening discussions, and then we also have various land use issues.
Somebody texted in, what about neighborhood protections with neighborhood bars? And I guess they're concerned if they live next to a bar that is a nuisance. And did we ever describe what a nuisance was or define it?
So again, yeah, and that's going to be clearly defined, again, within the code. But one of the issues, and I'm glad the neighborhood person texted in because that's also very important. So currently you have to display your ABO permit, right? And a lot of these ABOs, especially neighborhood bars, when they go through the process, there's various provisos put on there, such as, you have to have a trash mitigation plan, or you have to have certain things enclosed or exterior lighting. And these were the provisos that were put on them in order for them to get an ABO permit. So we're having those, they're now going to be required to be displayed where the permit is as well, to make sure, and that's really going to make sure that everybody is in compliance and they're doing what they said they were going to do. I mean, we have to be very clear, this is a privilege, not a right. And alcohol is a controlled substance. You need to make sure that there's a level of responsibility there. And we're just making this process a lot cleaner and easier to enforce and to make sure that everybody knows the rules that they're playing by.
And I know you got to go in a minute, but somebody texted in, when it comes to nuisance bars, how can you hold the business owner responsible for the way the patrons behave?
Well, are we saying that right now every single bar we've ever walked into is crazy? I mean, I'm having a hard time understanding that question.
I think what they mean is that if the bar is known to you cited for shootings, et cetera, drug trafficking, if it's happening outside of the bar, they're saying, well, how can the business owner control this, and why should they be labeled a nuisance bar?
If the business owner, we've had a problem bar, and again, there's a definition there, where for 4 or 5 years, they've requested from the owner for exterior lighting. They've requested things to be taken care of from the outside, and they haven't been. And there's been consistent issues with shootings, dealings right in front, problems. Yeah, I think if you have a lot of nuisance calls and what that looks like and translates to, you can definitely hold somebody accountable. I think we all know how we keep our houses. We keep our businesses, good businesses. Look, the vast majority, 99% of all these businesses are good businesses,
Text comes in, Tommy, I just tuned in. Who is this woman? I like her.
That would be Kristen Gisselson Palmer, and I'm not soliciting for a drink.
Yeah, New Orleans City Council member. And anything else? You said breast cancer awareness and anything else of substance?
No, just a lot of, as you know, one of the great things that we do over here at the council are land use issues. And so we do have some various land use issues that are coming up to the council today. But this is going to be the main issue that we're focusing on today.
I appreciate your time. Hope you have a great meeting.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
You bet. Kristen Gislason, Palmer, New Orleans City Council member. Phone lines will be open here for a little bit when we come back at 260-1870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.